Support for The Andrew Haynes Show is brought to you by LiveSource, the premier app for auctions at live events. LiveSource is an online auction and raffle platform that allows your fans and supporters to bid and buy from their phones and computers from anywhere. LiveSource cannot be simpler or more effective, which is why more than 300 professional and collegiate sports teams and thousands of charities and athletes utilize their services to generate revenue and collect data. If you sign up with LiveSource now, you will benefit from their lowest possible pricing and they'll waive their upfront fees. You can email them at hello@livesourceapp.com. That's hello, H-E-L-L-O, at livesourceapp.com. Hello and welcome back to the Andrew Haynes Show. In today's episode, we sat down with Wesley Abercrombie, the Vice President of Sales at Peak Sports Management. Wes is a 2017 graduate of Baylor University, and following his graduation from Baylor, he started working for Peak Sports Management and has been building a reputation as a great sales leader there in the last several years. Here's his story. We hope you enjoy.
All right, back for another show. I always say that it's going to be a fun show. So I guess they're all fun, but I got a good guest, a company I've been following a lot, Peak Sports. Got their vice president of sales, Wesley Abercrombie, with me. How's it going, Wesley?
Going good. How are you doing?
Doing real good, man. Thanks for joining me. I was like, man, I want to get you on here. I've seen all the growth. I see all the stuff you are doing personally on LinkedIn and recruiting and training people. So I was like, I got to get this guy on the show. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be on. I've been following, and it's kind of cool to be in this position.
Wait, I have a follower? Wait a minute. Nice. No, that's, I appreciate that. So on the show, I always like to just kind of go through the journey, like, you know, let people, you know, learn more about you. So let's kind of just go through like your background. Where'd you grow up? And where'd you go off to school?
Yeah. So, grew up in Waco, Texas, born and raised. So lived there for 22 years of my life. Dad went to Baylor, so grew up a big Baylor fan. He actually played there for 4 years and then went on to play for the Steelers. So stayed there throughout college. Ended up actually going to play football at a school in Belton, Texas for 2 years. Then I transferred to Baylor and graduated in a program called Sports Sponsorship and Sales. So anybody who's really, you know, connected in the industry knows about it. It's specifically a degree for sports sponsorship sales. And they do data now, and they also do ticket sales. So it's a really unique school to where if you know what you want to do going into college, that's the program to go to. If you
want to, that's cool. I've never heard of that before. That's sweet that it's that defined.
Yeah, the Dr. Wakefield, Dr. Lanis over there have done an awesome job, and we try to hire a lot of their students just because they come out knowing what they want to do and they've got sales experience. And so coming out of that, you know, this company called Peak Sports came by, and part of the requirement of the school is you have to have an internship to graduate. So I think it was my junior year. And I was, because I transferred after playing football, I was behind in some credits, and I went to my professor and said, "Hey, I know I'm early. I would like to do something this summer, some sort of internship, just so I'm not sitting around doing nothing." He said, "Well, you know, this company called Peak Sports came by. They just started. They're in sponsorships. They've got about 2 schools. How would you feel about working with them?" And so I said, "Absolutely. I mean, I don't know who they are. I don't even really know how to sell sponsorships yet, but sign me up." And so at the time Peak Sports was working with the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, which is a museum. And we were in charge of their sponsorships there. And if for those of y'all familiar with sponsorship sales, selling for a museum is extremely difficult. So you're selling logos of McDonald's and Burger King on the mannequin's foreheads. And so,
yeah,
the unique location of the Hall of Fame is right outside of McLean Stadium, which is Baylor's football stadium. And so on game days, the front yard of this museum was prime access to anybody walking to the game from the dorms or from the school. And I think the foot traffic was 40,000 people or something like that, that you know, were tailgating. It was a ton. So I wasn't having much luck selling in the museum. So I thought about, you know, what if we create some sort of tailgate outside? We can create this fun kind of family zone for people walking by. We'll go sell to businesses. They can pass out their coupons or whatever they want to do. And it ended up being a big success. And we surrounded it with 20 spots. And so at that point, I had sold a lot of money for Peak, and I was still interning at this point. And so Ryan and Kara, who are our owners, I guess I caught their attention. So by the time I graduated, they said, hey, you know, you've got enough sales experience to, you know, we don't really think you're account executive, which is our entry level position, ready, but we think you can go ahead and become a GM at Southeastern Louisiana. And I was 23 at the time, so I wasn't going to turn that down.
Great, a gig right out of school too. I mean, come on,
right out of school. And at this point, I had been interning with them for 2 years. My senior year, I was running the Hall of Fame by myself. It wasn't very profitable, but I wasn't very expensive as an intern, so they were just letting me run it, and I would sell a few things here and there. But I mean, I had 2 years of experience by the time I graduated, plus all the classes from S3. So I moved. I think I walked the stage in May, and the next day I moved to Hammond, Louisiana.
How was that? Just like kind of moving away, you know, that first big move, you know, right out of school.
Yeah, I mean,
you didn't know, right? You didn't know. You haven't been there, right? Like,
it's funny because I was in a bubble growing up my whole life in Waco. I hadn't really been anywhere else. Waco's kind of a small, big town, but it's growing now. Back then, it was not as big. So, you know, when I heard Louisiana, I was thinking, okay, I know there's crime over there, and I know the death rate per capita is a lot. So I was a little nervous, and I hadn't heard of Hammond, Louisiana. I hadn't even heard of Southeastern Louisiana until I started working with Peak, which Southeastern was our third property at Peak Sports. It was exciting, but I moved and I fell in love with Louisiana, and I go back probably 3-4 times a year now. Just
what were some of the biggest challenges that you kind of faced kind of out there in your first, you know, real gig, you know, full-time spot?
Yeah, man, I think for me, it's particularly with Southeastern Louisiana, you know, it's 45 minutes from Baton Rouge. It's 45 minutes from New Orleans. So you deal with Southeastern Louisiana is the third largest school in Louisiana behind LSU and Lafayette. So you dealt with a lot of LSU fans 45 minutes down the road. And then, you know, the New Orleans market, it's not really a college football market. It's Saints and Pelicans and a bunch of other things. So you dealt with the shadow of the big brother of LSU and then moving to Hammond, a town of 25,000 people, and I think that includes students, was definitely an adjustment. And when you come from Texas to Louisiana, and when you drive in, you got streetlights hanging on wires, and just the lower kind of. And I'm not trying to hate on Louisiana for those of y'all listening.
It's just not as good as Texas.
It's not Texas. I can say that. I think that's fair. So that was an adjustment.
So when you were there, what kind of stuff were you doing? Like, you know, was it solely, you know, sponsorship type stuff? What kind of like size deals, you know, are you selling at that point? And this is like, I'm taking it, you're probably like in your early 20s, like 22, 23.
At this point, I was 23 years old, 24.
So, I mean, you're in a high level position, you know, right away.
Yeah, you know, I had to ignore the age. I had our GMs in the company were older, and a college administrator is kind of what they considered me at Southeastern. I was I mean, the guys that I was kind of that were reporting to me were half my age, or were double my age. I was half my age. But, I mean, it was different. I just had to ignore it. And the first thing I had to, you know, tell myself was the only way I'm going to get past the age is I just got to prove to people that I'm good at what I do. So that just really lit a fire into me. And I realized the only way I'm going to do that is by outworking everybody, and not barely outworking them, but, you know, outworking them by a lot. Because I don't know if I'm good at this yet, but I do know I can control my work ethic, and hopefully that, you know, in turn will bring in sales, and it did. And my number one job was to raise revenue for Peak, and which also raises revenue for Southeastern based on our model. And just going in there, I think we, you know, I had a team that I owe a lot of my success too. They were great at the time, but we grew Southeastern's numbers to, you know, I think when we started there, we were doing $600,000 in sponsorship dollars, and then we grew them to $1.2 million by the time I left. So basically doubled it.
That's awesome.
And the staff there is incredible. They're a big part of how we were able to do that.
With Peak, do you guys do hospitality as well, or is it just solely partnerships?
Yeah, so the biggest thing with us is we are sponsorship specific, but a lot of our schools give us the creativity to come up with unique hospitality areas. And the biggest thing you'll see at the FCS level or Division II is you often have sold out suites, or your season ticket holders are sold out. And one of the issues we ran into at Southeastern when we first got there was their suites were sold out, and they had a waiting list, you know, 10 pages long to get in. So we were able to actually create end zone suites. We bought some high arch tents, got some high tables in there, cable TV, food catered in, and they were lined up in the end zone. It was a really unique experience for some fans, and we were able to sell 12 of those. And so that you know, JRT, who's the athletic director at Southeastern, let Peak keep, you know, our revenue share portion of that. And so you know, and as far as tickets specifically, we're allowed to put them in our packages, but we typically leave that up to our ticket sales reps at the school who do that. And I think ticket sales is potentially in the future of Peak, outsourcing that as well as part of what we do. But as of right now, that's a vision.
How did you kind of get that next step with Peak, you know, from Southeastern Louisiana?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, the number one thing, my goal was to be there for as long as I needed. My goal was to get to half, you know, 1.5 million. And I told Jay, our AD, there's as soon as that happens, then that's kind of when I would look at the next step. But that was my goal. And however long that took me is how long it took me. And then I knew Peak was growing. That was the one thing that really attracted me about Peak, was just in my time as an intern, we grew from from 2 to 4 schools. And then from my time as a GM, we grew 5 or 6 schools. It was really exciting. And I knew that the revenue I was selling was a big part of that growth. But I knew if I can just do a really good job here, the opportunity with Peak is unlimited.
Yeah, that's what's cool.
It is, and it's still to this day like that. But I just put my head down, and I didn't cause issues. Our owners never heard from me. My goal was work as hard as I can, sell as much as I can, and you know, build the team around me the best I can. And so, you know, I think I was there for about almost 2 years. We at that point we were well above 1 million. We weren't at 1.5, which is my goal, but Ryan and Kara, our owners, called me and they said, hey, we've got a sales director position opening and we want you to be that position. And what that entailed was managing at that point all 8 of our schools, and a lot of traveling, a lot of training, and just, you know, trying to train and coach our other GMs based off of what I was able to accomplish at Southeastern.
What's cool about that, though, what I see in that is I see that your ownership, you know, saw a lot in you and had a lot of trust in you, which is great to see. And, you know, I mean, it's great to see somebody coming out of college and just having that drive and determination, because I mean, sales in our space is not easy. Obviously, or the school would have been doing, you know, $1.5 million, you know, beforehand. So what do you think helped you have the success there? Like, you know, was it just like the hustle? Was it like, I mean, cause I don't, I mean, you're always learning. Like I'm 42. I've been in it almost my whole adult life. I'm still learning. Like we're always learning. So we don't have all the answers, but what was it that kind of helped separate you there, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think a big part of it was the team I had in place at the time, the support of the Southeastern Athletic staff, and then also the support of Ryan and Kara, our owners, and Ryan really became a mentor of mine. And he started our company. So he's the best, I think, at what he does. And the biggest thing for me was always asking questions. If I didn't know something, find the answer out for it, whether that's from Ryan or J.R. Teagues or whoever. But you know, you mix that in with, I was not going to let somebody outwork me. If I wasn't at the top of the hustle board every day, then I was doing something wrong. Cause that's the one thing I could control.
Absolutely.
Coming out of college, I didn't know what I was doing. I was selling for a museum. And actually, it's funny that I bring that up. And I always forget about this, but when you sell for a, and I apologize for the bad noise. When you come out of a museum and you go to a school, the analogy I use is it's like I was playing Guitar Hero on extra hard, and then you start playing it on easy. Because I got into this university. Like, I have a football stadium to sell for. Are you kidding me? And I just ran wild with it. And the town is so bought in to the town of Hammond is so bought into that university that our partners were great. They were really easy to build relationships with. And it's all the things that people say, you know, you got to work hard. You know, you got to build relationships. What does it really mean? You got to build relationships, but are you actually doing that? Are you actually going out in the community and putting concerted effort into that part of the job? And it helps. You do all those things, it adds up. And so, I wish I could take credit for a lot of it, but a lot of it was just who I was around and just the people that kind of helped me grow and the team I had on staff.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is a team effort. But it also, I mean, you know, the nice thing it sounds like too is, you know, it's a good opportunity for you on the leadership side, you know, with the small team there and then kind of going into that next role where now you're overseeing, you know, the 8 property GMs. How was that transition? Just like, I know when I was younger, like the hardest part I had was that, like that really step to get to that next level for me was being able to trust and let people do their jobs instead of like, I don't want to say like micromanaging. Cause I mean, I probably was, but like, I guess I was, but you know, it took me until I got past that to really get to that whole next level, like of leadership and developing people and them first. It's not about me. Like my numbers, the way I look at it is it's them first, you know, my staff, making sure I do everything I can to develop and build them up. Because they're going to be able to produce a lot as a group. And then obviously myself, but that leadership, especially at a young age, I mean, I was similar, you know, I started in business at 19. So, you know, I understand some of those challenges sometimes that you have to hustle a little extra, you know, because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're hitting it on the head. It's with that point when they promoted me to sales director, I remember they said, hey, if you think this job is hard, you're in for a rude awakening at that point. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm 25 at this point, or 26. I was 25. And our GMs in the company are 40. You know, we had a 50-year-old GM, and and the guys that had 20 plus years of experience. And I don't know, and to this day, I don't know what they saw in me to say this is our guy, but it was tough because you go from when you're selling and you're in the field directly and your sleeves are rolled up, you can control a lot of what you're doing by how hard you work. Well, yep. Management, that was, I was working hard, but that wasn't necessarily the answer. And I realized, you know, you've got every single person is managed differently. And some want you to be more hands-on, some don't. Some want to know that you care about them personally. Some don't care if you even know the name of their dog. So it was a big adjustment, and I'm still to this day, you know, learning. And as a 25-year-old or however old I was, it was tough. I think it's experience that has helped me in all aspects of my life, just understanding how to deal with certain people. And like you said, you know how you like to be managed.
Right.
And for me, it was, I want someone hands-on, but some people view that as micromanaging.
Right.
And so that's what you like. So that's what you naturally kind of go to. And then people say, well, hey, back off a little bit.
Yeah. Get off my back, man.
Yeah.
So, you got to find that it's all about like being able to, you know, understand, you know, the people that you're dealing with. And a lot of it's communication and just getting to know them, because as a leader, it's all about how can you get the most out of them? How can you help develop them the most? What's going to motivate them? Some people need a foot right in the butt, and then other people need patted on the back, you know? So it's like, once you identify what motivates people and, you know, that sort of thing, I think it goes a lot smoother.
No question. And it's hard because you have to, at the same time, you can't change your standards. You still expect.
Yeah. Excellence. The goals are the goals. We got to do this. Just get there differently sometimes.
Exactly.
So you were with the Peak front office for a couple of years as the director of sales, and then recently got promoted to VP of sales.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, about a month ago.
Congrats on that.
Thank you.
How is that kind of still same responsibilities? Just, you know, rewarded for your work and, you know, up a level, or do you have new duties now as well?
Yeah. So it's a lot of it is the same responsibilities. You know, part of it is our ownership really, really appreciates loyalty and buying into the vision. And so they'll, I mean, it's as simple as they will reward you if you do that. And if you continue to work hard. So, and I come in every day and I want to make this company better. I'm so bought in. I view it as my own. And I'm constantly trying to bring up ways for us to raise more money, whether that's adding new schools, creating a ticket sales branch, consulting, whatever that is. And so I think they see that, and they would probably be much better suited to explain why they promoted me again. But part of this new position is more outreach to schools. So I'm now
schools or
to current schools and new schools.
New clients, yeah.
New clients. And we were able to sign Florida A&M Athletics, and that was one of my first schools that our owner allowed me to reach out to and build that relationship with those guys over there. And, you know, a big thing for me, I just growing up, I've seen the underdevelopment of HBCUs in the industry. And that was a big push I wanted to make, was I want, and it's bigger than, you know, it's part of my why.
Yeah.
I want to work for schools that we can make a difference at. And so that was kind of my first industry to go to, was HBCUs. And so we were able to work that deal out.
Is that the first one that you have for HBCUs?
We work with Delaware State with North Carolina Central University as well.
Okay. Nice.
In a world where people are more aware and plugged in than ever, it's not enough to just have a great product. Consumers are looking for brands they can relate to. That's where Egghead Creative comes in. Everything they do is powered by deepening the connection with your brand. And every time you do business with them, they'll build a bespoke team of highly specialized creatives designed specifically around what you need. For more information, visit eggheadcreativestudio.com. That's eggheadcreativestudio.com. Or follow them on Instagram at eggheadcreativestudio. Now back to the show.
And so kind of tell me more about Peak. Is it... what's your niche? What do you guys kind of focus on, and what's the vision?
Yeah, it's a really good, our niche is the FCS Division II, high impact Division II schools. And it goes back to the why of our company and who we are. So if you look at our ownership, our owner, Ryan Holloway, worked in FCS his career. He worked for Northwestern State. He then moved to McNeese. He worked for Texas State back when they were, I think they were FCS at the time. And then he worked with Rice, which is that's a bigger school, but kind of has an FCS feel to it. And then me, I worked at a museum and I worked at Southeastern Louisiana. So I don't really know the big school kind of feel. And so that's the language that we speak. We understand how those communities work, and we understand what it takes to be successful in those communities. And then if you look at our why as a company, we want to make an impact with where we're at. Not that you can't do that at a Power Five school or a Group of Five, but when you work at an FCS level school, like a Southeastern Louisiana, and you make a large sale, you see where that goes. You know that is directly going to the budget, which majority of what FCS level schools, their budgets are made up of private donations, sponsorships, ticket sales, and then that goes to the athletes. And so you're directly impacting where you're at.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What kind of growth are you guys, looking at over the next few years?
So our goal for the last, since I interned, it was 20 by 20. Our goal is to have 20 properties by 2020. We were able to do that. If you count our two baseball tournaments, which we also had on our Peak event side of the company, we our growth each year has been exponential. We added, two schools, and then it went to five. And it's at the point now where we're having to kind of back up, because our culture here is a family culture. And that's why schools like to work with us. They can directly reach our owner on the phone, and they like that. And so our challenges is, how do we continue to grow and maintain that family culture with our schools, but also with our team members on board? Because as we add more people into our family, we want to keep that close knit relationship that we have with everybody. And so we have a plan. I can't reveal what that plan is. That's going to be revealed in April. And the reason that is because we want to reveal it to our company first before we make it public. But
come on, man, let's break it right here, right now.
Can't break it. Yeah. But I will say it is, I would call it aggressive growth that's coming.
How is your business model different, if it is different, than other players out there? Like, what kind of separates you guys?
I think so there's obviously the revenue model, and to, basically what we do is, when we go to a school, we guarantee them what they've been doing. We keep an X percent, we keep an X amount above that. And then there's a revenue share once we reach that, what we call our second bucket, which is the X number that we keep. And then it's a revenue share for infinity. And so where that's different at, with us and some of our other competitors, is it's complete transparency. They know how much they're making. We know how much we're making. And then that revenue share component is more infinite than the middle bucket, which you see at a lot of our competitors. They'll come in and they're guaranteed them a little bit more than what they're doing, but that second threshold, they keep a lot more than what we keep. And so we our goal is to get into that revenue share as quick as we can. So it's a win-win. And then obviously just us being able to speak the language of the schools that we work at makes a difference. And sometimes schools like going with a mom and pop company like us versus a corporate company out of New York or wherever. And so that's, we kind of have those two things working for us.
Yeah. No, I think that personal touch, a lot of times, you know, goes a long way. And I think, you know, you're focused on, you know, kind of a niche market too, where, you know, some of the players, you know, may not even want to be in or don't understand that space, because it's just like, you know, my career in the different minor leagues and everything else, it's like, man, they're all kind of different. And, you know, if I went from, you know, a low level to, you know, a triple A, you know, baseball team, it's, there's a lot different, you know, operations and everything else. So, I mean, not that that can't be overcome, but it definitely is not in the wheelhouse. So, I like that. And I love to see the growth that, that I've seen over the last really probably 2-3 years with Peak. And it's really cool just to see how fast you've been able to, you know, continue to climb, because you've been with Peak for how many years now?
If you count my internship years, this is year 6.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's solid. And, you know, I always see what you guys are doing on LinkedIn, you know, promoting your staff, your GMs, like, you know, internal hires, you know, promoting people without, it's not just you that are getting these other opportunities. And that's what's cool about a growing company for somebody that's looking to get into it. It's like, look, I could start out here just like Wesley did. I could bust my ass. I can get results. I can be a team player. I can be loyal. And there's going to be opportunities. And that's, you can't really ask for much more than that, you know, you know, when you're looking at a career.
You can, and you're exactly right. And that's why, you know, we want to provide opportunity for our people that are loyal to us, and we show that back to them. And obviously I got in at the beginning stage. I realized that, and I know you can't get the type of acceleration I've gotten anywhere else. And that's right. That's a big part of why I'm with Peak, and I don't plan on going anywhere. But I know that, and so for our team members joining us now, it's not going to be that fast, but I do know, man, the growth it's still there. Our strategic plan for the next 5 years is going to create a ton of opportunity. We have no regional managers right now. We've got no, I mean, we just got VPs, two of them. We have no C-suite level. We're on the ground level still, in my opinion, and yep. It's going to continue to grow. And as we look at these other branches of Peak, right now we've got our Peak College side, and we've got Peak Events ran by Nathan Wooldridge, who it's our two college baseball tournaments that we throw on. We don't have any other branch of the company, and that's probably coming soon as well. So it's exciting. And if anybody wants to be a part of that, that's listening, I'm gonna drop this in here now. and reach out to me, because we're looking for people that want to be a part of this.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. We'll put a link up to the website and everything in there. Let's go back to your college. So you played a little college football. What position did you play? Like, did you play at both schools or just your first school?
So I played for it's interesting, because when I graduated high school, I had the opportunity to walk on at Baylor. I wasn't good enough to earn a scholarship there, and I had a really good state championship game against Baker Mayfield, actually. And he just beat up on my Steelers, so I'm sorry about that. I just keep losing to that guy. I don't know what he's doing. But I played 2 years for a college in Belton, and then I when I transferred to Baylor, I was on the team for a spring semester, and then just realized it's not for me.
What position did you play?
So I played a linebacker defensive end kind of hybrid position. And once I got to college, it was full linebacker, and they beefed me up, and that's what I was doing.
Yeah. So how do you think that, you know, your experience in sports too has kind of helped, you know, your drive, like, you know, you're competitive. I can tell from talking to you, like, you know, is that, you know, helped?
You know, in a weird way, it's what fuels me is I grew up, my dad held the Baylor rushing records for my entire life, and they just got broke in 2017 or eight or two. Yeah. 2017. And then he went to the pros and he played for 8 years for the Steelers and was a starting running back for 8 seasons. And so when I was not able to athletically achieve that, I knew as soon as my football career was over, my goal was to, how can I be as successful or more successful than my dad in a different way?
Yep. And
so it just lit a fire in me. And it's one of those internal things where I love my dad. He's great. He's been a huge part of my success as of what I'm, but it's what drives me. And I'm still fighting to, I'm just competitive. And that's my goal, is to beat him in some way. And I'm still, I got a lot more years to try to get there, but that's kind of what fuels me every day is I go into work and it keeps me going.
And, you know, it's kind of similar with me too. It's like, I want to be, you know, I can't play on the field anymore. I can't, you know, I'm 40, I'm out of shape, you know, all that stuff. But I want to be the best in the office. Like I want to be the best at whatever I do. So although I can't win like the rushing record or the most tackles, you know, can I bring in the most revenue? Can I help the most people? You know, can I develop the most people? Can I, you know, make the most fans happy? So, you know, that's kind of how I'm competitive in that sense, that I just, you know, like if I play a video game, like I am like one of the nerds that like, I'm looking at all the stats of the, like, you know, if I'm playing 2K or if I'm playing Madden, I'm looking at I want to build all the stats up of my group and win at every point. So.
And it's when you grow up under somebody's shadow your entire life, it hits different than just normal competitiveness. And
oh, definitely.
And it's, so yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the thing though to keep in mind is like, there's a million ways to, you know, be successful. And, you know, that's, I look at I have a 17-year-old son and it's like, man, I kind of wanted him to follow, you know, in my footsteps, you know, but it's like, he's carving his own thing out and he's got his, like, he's a gamer and he makes, I mean, he's still in high school, but he makes like $100 a week playing video games right now. So, you know, it's just like a little thing. So it's like, you know, man, I'd love, like, he's like, man, he's got great size. Like, man, he would be like, he could just be an animal out on a field, but it's not what he wants to do. And so he found his niche of what he really likes. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is like support that. Like, so we bought him this expensive equipment. Like, you know, he streams, he does all this. He's got merchandise. Usually I'm wearing one of his shirts, Joker Gaming. But it's just kind of his thing. And so it's like, you know, it's cool to see, you know, the kids kind of come up and develop, because he was around professional sports his whole life. Like, you know, probably similar to you, like he's on the field, he's meeting people, you know, he's everywhere. But
I gotta check him out. What's his, you gotta give him a shout out, put his
Joker Gaming, JOKR Gaming.
Got
but,
it.
But yeah, it's crazy. He's telling me, he's like, yeah, I just had somebody subscribe on Twitch or something. And he gets paid on that, like every time somebody does, and he gets donations. And so it's kind of cool, but you know, I don't know that space. You know, I know minor league sports and the sports side, but the gaming, I don't quite comprehend, because once I do, then he'll be able to, but he's got a pizza place that will give him all he wants, everything free. Just shout him out on his streams. I'm like, okay, dude.
It's a growing, and that's, first of all, where was that back in the 90s when I was growing up? But man, it's it's just, it's where it's day trading attention. And that's where people are watching these days. So obviously if people are watching it, you can sell it. And that's exciting that he's at that age making even $100.
Well, that's what I said, you know, you're almost making what you'd get at a part-time job. So, keep doing it, so outside of, you know, the grind that you've got, you're dealing with all these properties. So your phone's probably constantly getting texted and messaged and everything else. What kind of stuff you do outside of work? Like what do you do to kind of relax?
Yeah. relax. I don't think I know that word.
You're young. You got a couple more years before you got to worry about it.
You know, I've got, I guess, part-time I like to play music. And so I've got an amateur band here in Dallas, and we get together, and the goal there is to try to get some gigs. So anyone watching living in Dallas, hit me up. But I'll do that. And then I'm recently engaged, and I've got two puppy dogs. So
congrats on both of that. Well, why don't you do this? This is a perfect thing. Why don't you book your band at all the colleges at tailgate parties? And so now you got live music coming in.
I know. And if I wasn't working games every Saturday during the season, using what you've got, I think is how they say
it. What kind of music do you guys play?
We're blues, R&B, soul. We do a lot of, I would say our main category would be blues. And I play the keys in our band. And so it's really fun. I mean, and I tell our team members here, you've got to have something that, one, makes you money, it's your job, two, keeps you creative, and then three, keeps you in shape. And even if it's not, you don't have to be in the gym, but do some sort of physical activity. And that's a well-balanced life. And that's one of our core values at Peak, is living a well-balanced life. It's just so important.
Yeah, that's cool. So you traveled a lot with your job, I'm sure. I don't know if you traveled a lot as a child, but what are your favorite places to go? Like whether they're, you know, Peak related or just like places that you travel to from time to time.
Yeah. I've got a few. so I call it my second home. My grandparents live in Newport Beach, California. Okay. So I love going there. As far as with our properties, we've got a property out west called Dixie State. They're in Utah. St. George, Utah. And so
man, that's beautiful out there, man.
I like it because you fly into Vegas and then
drive up,
just stop off at the Bellagio, and then you just keep going. And then we have the Citadel, which is in Charleston, South Carolina. And
ooh, that's nice too.
That's a really neat town.
Back to Utah. Who is your GM there?
His name is Matt Polifka.
He was on my Free Agent Fridays.
Was he? Okay. So yeah.
I did a series on there, like just interviewing people who had lost their jobs. And cause he was he with the MLS team? Maybe
he was. He was with Real Salt Lake. And then before that he was with
good dude, man. I really liked him from that interview. So
he's a superstar.
Yeah. I saw him on the, you know, when you guys announced that. So I was like, that's sweet. So yeah, it's a cool, good thing.
He's great.
Yeah. I haven't been to that school, but I did drive from Vegas to Denver. So I drove through, Utah a little bit, man. It's just cool. The scenery out there. I mean, I live in Florida. I like palm trees are cool and all, but like, I like to see some like mountains and like some other stuff every now and then. So going out west was pretty cool.
Yeah, and if y'all have not heard of Dixie State, check them out because they just went D1. The great location, and I think they're you know, with all the WAC news that came out this week, they're part of it. You got the four Texas schools going over there. They're gonna be legit, and I think they have a name change coming here in the next few weeks. But one of my favorite schools to visit, Dr. Jason Booth has done an awesome job there. And next time you're in Utah, you need to go check them out because it's.
And where is it at? Is it northeast?
So, It's more,
it's not in Salt Lake area, right?
It's 3 hours south of Salt Lake.
Okay, gotcha. So it's closer to Vegas then.
Yeah, 2 hours from Vegas. You go through Vegas to get there. You pass through a little corner of Arizona, and then you keep going. And they got some great hiking there.
I know we got to run here in a few, but last few things. Like, what are you looking for when you're looking to hire people? Like, what kind of characteristics? You know, we got a lot of people listening that are out there looking for positions. What do you look for?
So, yeah, and I'm glad you're hitting on this. You know, for us, we are a family, and we really try to live by that. That's our culture. Everyone in our company, all our team members, their friends outside of work. You know, I'm getting married here in July, and we've got a good amount of them coming to the wedding, and that's just the type of company that we are. And nice. So, who we're looking for is who wants to be a part of that, and then why should we let you in the family? And do you want to be a part of an organization that's growing and that's on the ground level, and you're getting into that now, or do you want to be a part of a more established company or a professional team? And I think both of those cater to different people, and so. We're looking for people that want to be a part of this, because the reality is, with our aggressive growth that's coming, we cannot grow without good people.
Yeah. It takes good people. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's cool. All right. When I come to Dallas, where are we eating? What are the spots there that you like? I'll tell you one that I like. I don't know. I don't remember the name of it. It's a Brazilian steakhouse.
Oh yeah.
Is it a mall there?
Probably a Legacy. You're talking
stadium. It's close to the baseball stadium.
By the Rough Riders, Fogo de Chao.
No. I just ate there here the other day, but that's a good one. But it's like a local one. It starts with like a G, I think. But man, I wish I could remember. But
what ballpark is it close by?
It's close to the Frisco one, so it's like it is right there. What the hell? It's good. But it's not a chain.
Maybe EG Steak.
Yeah. There you go. I think that might be
EG Steak. Yeah. I actually haven't been there. I know of them. I know of it. I've been to.
I signed a player that used to play for the Dallas Sidekicks to one of my teams. He's Brazilian. And so he was telling me the best place. So I went there, and last time I was in town, and I was like, damn, that's a good, I could eat Brazilian steakhouses like all, I at least like probably 3-4 times a month, like here,
but it's good
for you. What spots would you want to take me to if I came to town?
Yeah, I'm a big barbecue guy. Ooh. And if you're coming to Texas, you gotta have some barbecue. So we got a few. There's Pecan Lodge in Deep Ellum, which is really good. Hutchins Barbecue in McKinney might be my favorite. And then you've got Lockhart's in Plano. So those three, we'd be going to one of those. Definitely.
I love barbecue. So that's, we're going to lock that in when I come. Well, Wesley, man, I appreciate you spending some time with me, man. It was kind of good to hear your journey, man, and just kind of see your drive that you've got. And it's always cool to see. So I appreciate you joining me, and good luck, and keep up the good work with the growth.
Yeah, Andrew, thank you for having me. This is refreshing. It was great to just kind of have a conversation with you and just kind of get to share Peak's story and what we're about. So I really appreciate it.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Hain Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.